Die Gnade unseres Herrn Jesu Christi, die Liebe Gottes und die trostreiche Gemeinschaft des Heiligen Jesus sei mit uns allen. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us this morning as we have assembled in God's house. You are more than all welcome, and if there's guests in our midst, you're also welcome to attend these services. The scriptures tell us where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. The Bible, in other words, die Bibel sagt, da hält sich nicht an, wie viele Menschen unter zwei sind, und die sich einig sind. So those of you that do not understand German, bear with me, we will have some English. Three verses, what ich will mitteilen von dir, ist in Lukas Kapitel 2, Vers 10, 14 und 17. Und der Engel sagt, verschie nicht, ich bringe gute Nachricht, viel Freude, und dort hat alle Menschen so passieren. Vers 14, ihr sei Gott in der Höhe und in der Erde, Frieden und Wohlgefallen zu allen Menschen. 17, und es hat dort seine Horde, seht es zu jedem Mensch, zu allem, was passiert wird von der Tient. Da war unser Häupter noch näher zum Gebet. Uns vor dem Himmel, wir kommen von dir aus Mars und dir, wir danken dir für diesen Tag. Danke dir für dein Wort und danke dir, dass du noch immer bei uns bist. Die Ursache, warum du gekommen bist. Emmanuel, Gott mit uns. Vater, wir danken dir auch für die Bibel. Wir danken dir für, was du zu Salomo siehst. Zu Salomo siehst du in seiner Zeit, in 2. Chroniker 7, 14, bei meinen Menschen, was bei meinen Namen genannt wurde, das sind Christen, Christians. Du sagst, die sollen Feierdinge tun, die sollen sich ihr Stein mieten. Und dann sollen sie beten, und dann sollen sie von ihre schlechte Wege drehen. Und dann sagt er, da warst du vom Himmel hier. Sorry, das sagt er, ihr soll sich dein Mütchen und dann beten und dann nur deine Wirt horchen und dann von ihrer Beise Wege drehen. Da sagt Gott zu Salomo, da wo ich vom Himmel hier wurde, jene sind vergeben und nicht bloß dort das Land heilen. Wie weiter dort ans Land braucht besonders die Heilung. Der du allein geben kannst, was du zu Salomo siehst. Und wir beten, dass das mag passieren, und ihr unsere Regierung, und ihr unsere Doktorie, wherever das ist, und ihr die Zeug, kraken und wo. Vor dass wir uns möchten demütigen, fangen zu beten, mehr beten, machen nur dein Wort hier und nur dein Wort ans Rechte, dann wirst du uns verheben und uns Land heilen. Wir beten um deinen Segen von dir aus Mars, ob das Wort, was jetzt all geredet wurde, und das beten wir in die Namen. Amen. Wir wollen von Ihnen zwei Leute haben.
Und freut euch von Herzen Grund, Nummer 26. Number 26.
Ihr Wort verloren. unserem schwachen Fleisch ein Port, wacht aus uns eine Art, mein angerichtet werden. Der Menschen auf heiligen Grab, sein Glieden ganz erstarben. Drum kommt das Leben selbst herab, dass diese ganz verdarben. Im Scheinen ragt es als verhüllt mit neuer Lebenskraft erfüllt, den Tod bei Siegen kennen.
Dies ist die Nacht um mir erschienen, um 28. Number 28.
Ik wil van deel smaris en poed weet over zij, over mijn inleiding. En dan een klein beetje wat over de Wienersgeschichte. Ik weet wie het eerst vlek alle goed bekend. Terwijl ik wat over zij. En ik heb me die ondag van deel een feierdeel gespeeld. Eerstens een weinig reden van Jezus zijn komen als een kind. Tweedens van de advent van zijn eerste komen. Derdens van de advent van zijn tweede komen. En dan wil we dat jaar willen afsluiten en een nieuw ontvangen. Dat heeft zich nog een grote resept. Maar ik hoor vielleicht terugkomen wanneer ik voet ontvang. Hier zegt dat in Lukas kapitel 2, vers 10, mijn inleiding, dat de engel kwam, ziet in de hordes, de shepherds, wat op een stap waren, verschijnen. Weet je, tijd wie het geen lichter veel wordt. Oh, de ma wurm tolls licht hei hort nach wurm in het licht. Aber wann er zu diester, dann wird er diester, in der Nacht. Auf einmal kam du ein Dachlicht. Und dann kam noch das Dachlicht, und dann sind die Engel wie und sagen, verschie nicht, ich bringe eine große Freude. Gute Nachricht, eine gute Freude. Und wer will nicht eine gute Nachricht, eine gute Freude haben? Das wollen wir alle haben. Und das sage ich, das ist für alle Menschen passiert. Und die große Furcht, das kann von der Kraxe sein. Wenn wir durch eine Furcht gehen, du hast eine gute Nachricht. Gott sagt noch auf dem Thron und der hat das letzte Wort zu sagen. Nicht die Welt, nicht irgendwo. Nicht die Doktor, irgendwo. Das meint nicht, dass wir alle durchhandeln. Das ist nicht die. Gott hat das letzte Wort, der sagt am Thron. Und hier sagt er, wenn sie sich feststellen, wir tun noch eine gute Nachricht, da braucht ihr viel Freude noch wieder für alle Menschen. Kriegt noch jede, Hede, jeder einer. Kriegt diese gute Nachricht. Und dann kommen wir nach anderen Engeln, Vers 13, Vers 14, sagt diese Engel, seht ihr, ihr seid Gott in der Höhe und Friede auf Erden mit Menschen in Wohl gefallen. Dort wird die Ursache, dass Jesus in diese Welt kommt, den Frieden bringen auf alle Menschen. Das wird die gute Nachricht. Und da sagt dort in Vers 16, aus die Shepherds, dort hat er hier, die Hordes, dann seht ihr es in Vers 17, und als er das gesehen hat, und gehört hat, dann möge es bekannt machen, alle Menschen dort von dem Kind. Seht ihr auch so? Wenn wir mal was excited haben, dann dürfen wir ohne Mittel oder so, wenn das Wort ich hin und sage. Wie ist mir noch nicht die Sandfläche im Bett so? Das hoffen wir uns selbst. Und das ist nicht recht. Das ist nicht, was die Bibel lehrt hat. So, das sagt in der Bibel, wenn wir von Bord voll sind, jetzt bei Mühl Eva. Und das schwer sich, das stimmt bei uns nicht. Man sagt, Eva, das stimmt bei uns nicht. Wir sind nicht hier excited. Wann von jenen Großeltern, wenn die ein Großchen haben, sagen, na, das mag ich von mir selbst hören. Das ist eine große Freude, was ich ihnen sage. I can't tell anybody but our grandchild. Das ist die größte Wahrheit. Sonst, wo wir uns eine große Freude anbringen, da wird die nächsten doch sein, nicht? Und so wird das da für die erste Weihnachten, als Jesus geboren wird. Dann werde ich noch ein paar Worte haben über die zwei Männer, oder die zwei Menschen, soll ich sagen, die zwei Menschen, wo du in der Zeit wir als Jesus geboren wird. Ein wie ein Mann und ein wie eine Frau. Vers 25 an, da redet er von Simeon, wie ein sehr abbrecher, christlicher Mann, Simeon. Die wir haben Hü und Ella, und er lüht gerade für das Jesus, von der Erradung von Jerusalem. Und er wird gefällt mit den Heiligen Geist. Das ist mir abfallen, Vers 25. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, sagt er. Da sind nur zwei Jäste, wo der Mensch drüber der. Aber hier wird der Heilige Jäste ab am Boven. Und da wird ihm gesagt in Vers 26, dass der Heilige Jäste, eier he wird sterben, wird Herr Jesus noch sein. Sieh? Da hat er sich ganz klar. Der Heilige Jäste hat ihm das gesagt. Und da sagt der Jinke in Vers 27, Herr Jinke in den Tempel. Und wenn die Ältere, die Josef und Maria, das Kind im Tempel brachte, dann deute sie nur das Gesetz, das wird ihm beschnitten. Circumcision. Dann nimmt er in Vers 28, nimmt das Simeon, den Jesus in seine Ohren, und sehen Gott und sagt, das, was Simeon gesagt hat, als er das Baby in der Hand hält. Niemand verdenkt ihr. Hier sind die jungen Lied, Josef und Maria, jo? Maria hat das Kind, nehme ich an, und gibt das zu Simeon, der Ältere, was er gelöst hat. Und dann sagt Simeon, der was so gelöst hat für das Ding, das Baby. Er sehnt das Kind, und er sagt, nun lass dir dein Deiner in Friede vor, das ist dein Wort, hat gesagt. Verstartet, denn meine Ehe hat die Salvation gesagt, die hat die Erradung gesagt. Simeon sagt nicht, dass wir die Menschen erraten, dass thy salvation, dass wir Gott sehen plon, nicht Menschen erplon. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Da hat Menschen sich nicht gedacht, dass Jesus geboren wurde, und sie schrie sich. Thy salvation. En wat wie die Usa? De mensen op je ied ruit te maken. Alle mensen. En licht, vers 32. Dat er zo dagen over alle mensen, over even de heden. En de glorie van thy people, de Juden. En dan zegt het deze jonge lied in vers 33 dat Jozef en zijn moeder, dat weer Maria, die had zich bewonderd wat Simeon hier vertelde. Oh, dat heeft hem die gewonderd. Wat kan hier een onkel aan zijn zoon zeggen? En Simeon zegt nu nog wieder: hij zegt de moeder Maria, dit kind wordt voor de val en opstonden van de Israël, van de Judenzonen, en een teken wat die gezegd is worden, je en schweert wordt door die ene zeil komen en vele gedanken en horten worden opgedacht worden. Weet je, deze jonge vrouw, de Maria, trigger waren nog de elderen, joh. Weet je, ze had nog niet een kindje gehad, dat werd het eerste. Joseph en Mary never had a, this was their first child. Het eerste kind kwam ter wereld en hier staat een onkel die blessed dat en die helpt dat en half bloeskoude te zijn. Maar hij zegt Maria eindelijk wel het zei. Dit kind. En dat schweert wat wordt door dit kind voor, wordt ook door diene zal voor. En dat was die ook speer. Zo vangt de jonge moeder aan met het eerste kind. Of je geen leicht het leven. Dan vingen we weer van een vroegmensch, er noemen we Anna, de dochter van Peniel. Ze werden een huwde Ella. En ze had met haar man nog 24 jaar, of je had 7 jaar, zegt dat. En dan vers 37, zegt dat. En ze werden een weetvrouw en weer 24 jaar oud. En ze ging niet van tempel weg in vers 37. Maar zij deinde in God met vasten en beden dag en nacht. She was a very godly woman, Anna. En zij kwam krak zo, kwam zij nennen en gaf dank voor dit kind. En zegt alle te alle die wat erom aan zijn, wat dit wordt de redding van de Juden zijn, van Jeruzalem. Weet je, Jeruzalem wie ook een trouble in die tijd. Zij leefde dit met de king of the Jews. Weet je, king of the Jews en zijn raden van de Juden. En zo vinden we dat hier zijn twee mensen. Wordt het zo bejenen en ze doen dat zo behandelen ook zo'n zaaien. Het is opvallend. Het is bemerkwaardig. Door dat lezen deed van Lucas kapitel 2. De prophezeiing van Jezus in eerste komen, dat is voor dich. Daar leven we al niet meer nog. Nee? We horen dat verre Weihnachten. Wordt ziemlich van die feiers in je reed van de prophezeiing. The prophecy of Jesus is coming. That's finished. En zo wel we de tekst van klimaat nu checken, wat de prophezeiingen werkelijk vieren. De Bibel heeft ongeveer 30% prophecy. 27, tussen 27 en 30%. Eva 8000 verzen worden dieden op Jezus in tweede komen. Doe eerst niet bloos Johannes 3 zes tien. Dat is nog de prophezeiing van Jezus in komen. En we vonden dat Johannes 3, 16, en dat naamt Paulus de maaltje. En dan gaan we naar vlees, en dan gaan we naar waar we ons hier door het leven terugvinden doen. Ik moet zeggen, als ik niet aan prophezeiing leefde, dan wil ik deze tijd schoen vinden. En nu weet ik, dat puzzelt dat je aan toe. The world is not breaking into pieces. God is putting the pieces together. Let's never underestimate. God is putting the pieces together. The world's not falling apart. Dat mag zo loten. Well, because I can prophesy and live it, dan leef ik deze bieden op onze kracht op wat je zei voor. Dat kan het zijn. Kan ik het allemaal verstaan? Nee, dat kan ik niet. Maar hier is het. En prophesy en gaat waar je vinger. Dat heeft veel met einzige dingen te doen. Wat de merkwaardig zijn. Die zijn in detail, zei ik in Engels. Prophecy has detail. When you look at, bloß eerste prophezeiing wie in eerste Mose 3, 15, dat heeft wat detail van een zoon van früh. die wo Gott für die Feind im Kopf schwarzen so wieder. Dann in Jesaja 7,14, du redet von Jungfrau, a Virgin. No. Da schreibe die euch für 700 Jahre, für Jesus geboren, wir redet von einer Virgin. Ein Mensch, der so eine Rede würde haben, würde sagen, wir mental ein klein bisschen dem Fehl wird halb, weißt du? Aber Gott sieht auch den Weg, der Prophet Jesaja, Kapitel 7, da wurde eine Jungfrau sehen, und da wurden Sehen sein. Und da wurde geboren worden, der in Virgin, und die Nome wurde Manuel sein. Trotzdem, bedienende Betekungen, nicht bloß, well, da wurden Frühmensch sein und wurden Jung sein. Nee, das wird ein Virgin. Und ich meine, Gott schaffe das, und ein Prophet lag kommen, dann macht ein Mensch im Neuen Testament, kennt ihr nur die Details, oh jo, das krank wird aus. Und die Menschen wissen das. Wir noch nicht ehe warte. Da fängt wie in Isaiah 7,14. Und dann, dort sind die Tekens. Und dann in Jesaja 9 saß, sagt er, dort ein Kind wird geboren, das wird sie sehen. Ich weiß nicht, einst die Menschen, die Question ist dort, was für ein Gender dort ist, was. Wenn ich die Bibel lese, das ist ein Sehen, das ist ein Male. Für mich ist das nicht ein Female. Ich kann das verstehen. Ich sehe nicht sehr educated, aber ich kann es verstehen. Aber einst die Jesaja, das konnte ich noch. Und sehen, was geboren wurde, sein Government wurde, ob sie in der Schule sind, und die wird heute wunderbar. Und der Rada, die Almacher Gott, die Eier Vater und so wieder. So, das sind bedienende Betätigungen von der Advent von Jesus hinkommen. Ich glaube, das ist eine Einleitung, wo ich meine zweite Port von Andacht habe, dass wir wurde antworten, wo bedienend das erst, wenn sie erste kommen, und wo bedienend dort erst in der zweite kommen. In Jesaja 53, der selbe Prophet, der sagt, von Jesus gekommen ist. In Jesaja 53 sagt er, dort haben wir, haben nur sein Tod, he went to his death as a sheep before the slaughters. He did nicht resisten. Das ist Detail, ist er nicht. He did auch nicht. He gab sich alle Hand. He sagt, wenn ich will, komme ein neuer Engel, Vater, wo wir diesen Krieg, wo wir gewähren. Aber das tat er gleich. Er gab sich wirklich, und das war wahr, das ist ein Detail, das ist eine Bemerkung in Jesaja 53. Micah 4, Vers 2 sagt, wo er geboren soll worden, war ein Detail von der kleinen Stadt Bethlehem. Zechariah 9,9 sagt, dort er wird nennen in Jerusalem mit den Esel. War ein Detail, ab Wort. Verstehen wir, dass wir die Advent von Jesus in Erstedt kommen. Und dann fangen wir an in Matthäus 2. In Matthäus 2, wir wollen durchchecken. Und hier wollen wir fangen. Hier ist das, wo Jesus all geboren ist. Dass alle ihr prophezeit, die Menschen können all die Prophezeien lesen, was sie wollen. Wenn sie bloß hören Wort. Ihr hört alle könnt lesen. In Matthäus 2, du sagst dort, dann ist der Weise kommen, checken, und seht, wo ist der König der Juden? Da sagt er in Vers 3, da wie Herodes, der erschrocken, und heute nicht bloß heute mit all Jerusalem mit an, und seht, wo ist der Mensch? Und er fragt die Chief Priests und die Scribes, und er nahm den Taub in Vers 4, und er wird dringend, er demand, erst der König? Und was sagen die Chief Priests und Scribes? Herodes wisst nicht von Bible Prophecy, er wisst nicht von der Vergangenheit. Da sagen die zwei Gruppen Menschen, die Chief Priests und Scribes, na, dort erst hier sagt, und der Propheten in Vers 5, in Bethlehem, mit, und das ist die Prophezeiung, in Mika, Kapitel 4, Vers 2. Sie haben das doch nicht. Aber die Gruppe Menschen, die wissen das. Die haben das studiert und die wissen. die wüsste, dort dritte wir. Dort ist interessant. Sind zu weiter, ich sie heute dort studiert. Ich denke, wir können so dort, wenn ihr Hebräer auch vorlesen, Hebrews 11, you will find that's the faith chapter. Und wenn ihr mal vor den dort Kapitel lesen, das sagt dort, dort der Glaube ist something, was nicht sein und doch leben. Ich will Ihnen sagen, Brüder und Schwestern, ich konnte Ihr Wort Jesus nicht erklären, aber ich konnte proklamieren. Ich konnte Ihnen sagen, und ich lebe dort auch, aber ich konnte verstehen, das kann ich nicht. Aber wen hat der Mensch doch Glaube? Ja? Der Glaube hängt nicht auf, an was ich verstehen kann. Der Glaube hängt an, dass ich das lebe da. Und mein Gott, und die Plum werden wir, dann mache ich das lebe. Und so die Old Testament in Hebräer auf, da fingen wir, ich weiß nicht, vielleicht 20, vielleicht mehr, Menschen, das zeigte die Bühne auf den Glauben, was sie noch nie nicht gesehen haben, von der Advent Jesus Christus. Abraham, Noah, alle die Bühne auf den Glauben, von der Errada, was er kommen würde, wir wissen alles von Jesus. Dafür die Glauben. Noch nie gesehen. Dann denkst du, feiertausend Jahre haben sie gelehrt und von Tschinger nur Tschinger verteilt, dort wurden Arada in dieser Welt kommen. Die Menschen, dort sie mal können loskommen von der Tiereschlacht und der Opfer. Und Menschen stehen hier und ihr das gesagt, man wurde genutzeilig vorgetan. Und die lebte dort. Die Viermaner, die sind beschrieben, Herr ihr auch. Nun werden wir ans Hand schneiden und beten und whatever auf uns Wort liegt. Und ehe wir dort tun, ich habe hier noch ein Prayer Request. Da wird mir gegeben. Ich werde lesen, was er hier ist. Mary Weeb, a single lady from church, is asking for prayer for her aunts, Anna Weeb and Eva Fair. They are both very sick from COVID. Und dann habe ich noch einen, das ist Margaret Lowen, die ist in Winnipeg Hospital, hat auch COVID, her husband is Pete. So let's remember these two, or these four actually, Anna Weeb, Eva Fair, Peter and Margaret Lowen. They better chana, that was not all a hand chana to be bed. The Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Please take the red book and turn to number 77, Blessed Christmas Time. Number 77, could we stand, please?
Abounded, light has surrounded all the
Thank you.
Loudly proclaiming the Savior's birth. Isn't that interesting? Loudly proclaiming. They were excited. The shepherds ran and hastened to tell the story of excitement. The second coming of Jesus Christ. Tell me, if I would ask you to raise your hands, of how many people listened to the forecast this morning, I think most hands would go up. And I can tell you what the forecast is, if you don't know it. There's a snow advisory this evening, about 10 centimeters. It's not prophecy. It's something that could be coming, needn't be coming. These are humans. Bible prophecy is much more accurate than that. It's 100%. There's no human that understands everything about Bible prophecy. That is it's not important. I'm trying to get something, a word out of my mouth, and I can't, anyhow. Bible prophecy. Like I said, it had 30%, about 8,000 verses. The importance of the first, like I said in the German, the first advent of Jesus' coming is past. It has details. It happened. And because it had details, they knew it was the Messiah. Over 4,000 years of waiting. Now we know that Bible prophecy has different eras. It has the approach of the rapture of the church of the believers. It has the end of time of earth. It has God's judgment. But for the natural person that dies a natural death will not experience either the rapture or the end of time. That end is there. When we look at two passages of Scripture, in the time when Jesus was still on earth, there were some people, they asked him some questions. Jesus could answer them well. In Luke chapter 12, Luke 12, verse 54 to 56. And this is Jesus speaking. And he said also to the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye see there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. He says, this is what you can notice on the everyday forecast or the everyday surroundings of the conditions of the world. He says, when it comes from the west, you say there will be a shower coming. When it comes from the wind from the south, it will be heat. And he says, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye cannot discern this time? He calls them hypocrites. I've given you all of the scripture, 27%. Not all of it pertains to the second advent, but it is a large portion. He says, how can you discern the skies, but not the signs of the times of his coming? That's really what they were interested in. A second passage of scripture that supports exactly this is found in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. one to three. The Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, came and tempting, desire him that he should show them a sign from heaven. These are religious people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they want a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. He does not talk about a day or hour. Only God knows that. But there are seasons and times that we can allude to Jesus' second coming. And I can back that up with Scripture enough. I don't have time, but I could back that up with Scripture. Not the dear hour, but the time. See, we are not in darkness. We are of the light. And I'll show you these passages of Scripture. Otherwise, what good is it if we know 30% of the Bible and we all don't understand what it means? It's written there for a purpose. It's our forecast. I heard of a person, you know, he bought a barometer. You know what a barometer is? It tells you the forecast of the weather. He takes the thing home, he pays for it well. He thought it was kind of expensive. He bought a barometer. And when he takes it home, he opens it and the barometer hangs on hurricane. What's this? Thing doesn't work. He shakes it and shakes it. It's still sticking on hurricane. He writes the company a letter and says, what are you selling here? It doesn't work. He's frustrated with it. He goes away for a couple of days and comes back, and guess what? The barometer is gone, and so is his house. What I'm trying to say is with this story, God has a plan, and he's not slack. Regardless of what you and I think, that barometer that God has will be accurate. Bible prophecy deals with a lot of things like the attitude of people in the last days. It deals a lot with the Jews of his people and the nation of Israel. When you want to study Bible prophecy connected with the Bible, just watch the Middle East. How people are gathering around that little land of Israel that God gave to Abraham. It talks about wars and rumors of wars. It talks about the love of people will grow cold in Matthew 24. It talks about in the days of Noah. It talks about the gospel will be preached in all corners of the world. That's a fulfillment of prophecy. And I think it's very close that it is, if it isn't already. Really, Bible prophecy, when you look at Bible prophecy, I can't see anything that needs to be fulfilled yet. Maybe it's the outreach of the gospel. And the stage is set with technology. No question. Our parents talked about Bible prophecy. But now we have a computer system that can track us, whatever. Sure, fits nice for the Antichrist to sit on his throne. Bible prophecy. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. You must remember, what relationship was John the Baptist to Jesus? Read Luke chapter 1. You will find that Elizabeth, the mother to John the Baptist, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were cousins. Jesus was about 6 months older than John the Baptist. Jesus was born and then John the Baptist. Or was it just around? There was 6 months difference. Sorry, I don't. But that's about, maybe I'm not saying quite, but there's 6 months difference between the two. Maybe John the Baptist was born first. But anyhow, they were cousins. The mothers were cousins. That makes Jesus and John the Baptist second cousins. Aside from that, this John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus. He spoke and he pointed people to Jesus, the cousin, the second cousin. And finally, at his death or after his death, Jesus comes along and finds that his cousin is beheaded. And why? Because John the Baptist was in prison. And why? He said to Herod, you have your brother's wife, and that is not right. But, you know, just the experience that Jesus had to go through with John the Baptist. This is who we're reading about. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And what is his message? Repent, ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Get ready. For this is he that was prophesied in the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. My wife Martha and myself, we were at a German program here in Schanzenfeld, and their theme was, get ready, Jesus is coming. Bereitet euch, Jesus kommt. And after the program, I had some people that I knew there. I went and talked to them. And this is what one of them said. He said, the pastor here in this church for the last year has how many times just about every Sunday talked about the advent of Jesus coming? I found that intriguing. Is that our only hope? Is that the Christians and believers' only hope? Blessed hope that Jesus is coming. You know, in Hebrews 11 that I talked about before, there I talked about the people of faith. They were strangers and pilgrims, and they looked for a city whose maker was God. The city that was not built by human hands, but God's hands. And these people, they worship together as Jesus coming maybe today or tomorrow. I think that's healthy thinking. I think that's healthy thinking if we go into the next year thinking that Jesus could come anytime, even by death. In 2 Peter, in 2 Peter 3, verse 9 to 12, it says there, and the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the Lord, God himself. He's long-suffering. He keeps his promise. He's not slack. He's not slack. Galatians 4, verse 4 said, when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son. That was the first time. A quotation of Galatians 4, 4. Out of Galatians 4, 4. And the promise of his coming, he's not slack. He's long-suffering. He doesn't want anyone to suffer. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works and that works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. People have asked me, Abe, you don't believe in global warming? Yes, I do. Yeah, I believe in global warming. But God's way of global warming, not humans. Because God is on the throne, not humans. Here talks about global warming, verse 10. It says that, and the element shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt. It sounds like heat. Verse 12 says, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the element shall melt with fervent heat. Yes, that's global warming that God has in store to punish the people. And he prophesied it. Some attitudes of people that Paul talked to young Timothy. You wonder why Paul would talk to young Timothy when he gets into the ministry about that. It must have been needful. It must have been important. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. These are characters of people. They depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with an hot iron. So there's a group of people that Paul talks about to Timothy already. They depart from the faith. They give them over to seducing spirits, even doctrines of devils. And they speak lies of hypocrisy, and they don't even have a conscience. You can put an hot iron against their conscience. They don't even wink. They don't even flinch. And what do they say? they talk about forbidding to marry and not eating meats in verse 3. They are not in the truth. It's the character of the Bible departing from the faith. Second Timothy chapter 3, 1 and 5. Here you will see what Paul says to Timothy. This know also in the last days perilous times shall come. This is the characteristic of people, men of lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. What is natural affection? Male and a female. That's natural affection. That's natural. That's godly affection. It says you're without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinence, fierce, despisers of those that are good. When we look under these characters and traits of people in their mindset, is that prevalent today? Is that accepted today? Is it accepted in the church today? Homosexuality. He says this is what's going to happen. And if we don't know, if we read this but don't know what's going in the world, then we're somewhat ignorant. We can't put the puzzle together. You have to have it both ends. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It's not that they don't have love for the God, but they have love of pleasure more than lovers of God. It doesn't say that they don't have love for God. It says lovers of pleasure more than God. They have their priorities twisted. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 7 and 8, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. You know, the Bible talks about Romans 1, about the sins of the people. He says, I will give them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is then you can't think straight. And God does that to these people. In a different portion of Scripture, it talks about a delusioned mind. And here talks about reprobate concerning the faith. That doesn't match with this, it's not truth, regardless who it is. Characters, what people will do in the last time, and you see it, if you know what's happening, we're living in those times. And then in Luke 21, we find in verse 10 on, it talks about how kingdom shall rise against kingdom. There won't be peace. Great earthquakes, diverse places, famines, pestilence, great signs in the heaven, persecution. How should we should react to them when we are called to law? How it will the relationship in verse 16, and ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some you shall be cause you to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not be an hair on your head perish. Verse 20 says, and when ye shall see, here's the verse that I alluded to before, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. That's what we see today. Russia, all the countries are interested in Jerusalem. Now, armies are compassed. Then let, verse 20, yeah, and then further it talks about different things, and then I just want to go down to verse 28, how we should react to these times. It says, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Don't look down. Don't look down. Don't look to any other advice, but look up. lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. He says it's there. Don't be defeated. Look up. And that's what we should do today too. Look up. Don't look around us. We'll get confused. What is truth and what is not truth? In 1 Thessalonians 4, very familiar passage, very, very familiar passage, very often used maybe at funerals, at funerals. There, Paul talks about, first of all, he starts in verse 13, to not be ignorant. You know, really, when you study the Bible, there's really no room for ignorance. Is there? We often talk about the people of South America and Bolivia, our Mennonites, how ignorant they are. I say to myself, let's watch for ourselves that we are not ignorant in some of the things of what I'm talking about. We have no interest in it. The Western world will preach on grace and love and John 3:16, but there's more to the gospel than that. That's the start, like I said before, that's the milk. But to be ignorant, the Bible doesn't advocate that at all. He says, be not ignorant concerning those that are asleep, those that have died and are in the graves. He says, if they have died in the Lord and in faith, I will bring them with me. They're in good hands, in other words. That's faith. And then he talks about the rapture. He says, those that are in the grave, when the trumpet will sound, will be raised first. And we which are still alive and around the church will be resurrected with them in the air to be ever with the Lord. Can you imagine that should happen? I have sometimes said that will be an exciting time for the Christians to be away. But can you imagine a lot of non-believing adults that have children will go into the bedrooms of these children and the cribs will be empty? No young child will be in their houses. They'll be raptured up. Teachers that have grades, whatever, of under accountability, maybe grades 1 to 4, whatever, ground to 1 to 5, I don't know, according to their ability of being, they'll be gone. Teachers are out of a job. Air pilots that are believers will be gone. The rapture. And the last verse says, now be tormented with this idea. Be comforted. Lift up your heads. Be comforted. Yeah? Isn't that interesting? And then in verse chapter 5, he goes on. He's finished in chapter 4. It says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. But of the times and season, brethren, ye would not need that I write unto you. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, when people will say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon a trivial, upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. It's interesting, very interesting, that Paul writes to the Thessalonians about a pregnant woman. And he says that pregnant woman will not escape the delivery of the child. And we all know within a frame it's 9 months, more or less. And Paul says it this way. And he puts the pregnancy of a woman that will not escape to people that think whatever they want to think, if they're scoffers, whatever they want to think, if they're not interested, whatever they think, he says, you will not escape as a woman that will not escape her delivery. And then verse 4 and 5 is also interesting. But ye brethren, when he talks about brethren, those in the faith, but ye brethren are not in darkness. Darkness is what? The enemy. That day should overtake you as a thief. He says that's you're not in darkness, that you don't know what that season or time, like he said in the beginning of when I read the verses of hypocrites, fair weather, remember those verses? He says, you are not in darkness. That day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. What he's really trying to say is, when he says brethren or sisters that are born again, they should study Bible prophecy so that they don't know, or that they know in which time frame we're living, and that they are in the light, not in darkness, that that day should overtake us. I wonder how many of our people, I sometimes wonder, how many are our people that might sit in our benches Sunday after Sunday, they're born again. They haven't got an inkling. If Jesus should return, they might say, well, what's this trumpet blowing? They might not even know that there might be a trumpet sound. How much do they know? How much are they being taught? Have we ignored it deliberately? And then in verse 9 here, in verse 9 of the same chapter, 1 Thessalonians 5, for God hath not appointed us unto wrath. God's appointment is not to condemn or wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I need to say that in Bible prophecy, you will find that God's wrath never is poured upon his people. He didn't do it in Noah's days. He didn't do it in Sodom and Gomorrah. He does not exercise his wrath upon the bride. Have you ever heard of a groom? A day before he gets married, he punishes his bride. You think Jesus, and I'm talking about the wrath of God. I'm not simply talking about persecution or hard times. We're living in some of that. But when the wrath of God will be poured out, according to Revelation, hailstones of 100 pounds coming down, that's the wrath of God. It's somewhat like the Israelites when they wanted to go out of the land of Egypt. When that wrath came, that the frogs were in the dough and everything, and Pharaoh didn't take heed, this will be more severe than that, which humans have never seen. That wrath of God, I believe, according to Scripture, teaches us we will be gone. That at least makes sense to me when I read the Scriptures. And when you read Revelation, you will find the first four chapters of Revelation, it has to do with the church, the church, the church. But then finally, the church is gone. There's no more about the church. It's about the wrath, the vials, and the different things that God pours out. I want to speak a couple of things on Revelation, and then I'll draw this to a close and have a couple of words about ending this year and starting a new year. In Revelation 19, just to think, what do you think of Revelation? I'll show you some passages, and you can meditate upon it when you get home even. Revelation 19, verse 10 says this. Revelation 19, verse 10. It's the latter part of the chapter. It says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay? You take your Bibles and you go to chapter 1. You take your Bibles, you go to chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Here talks about this revelation, the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by the angel unto his servant John. John gets this revelation, but it's a revelation from whom? Jesus Christ. The first verse says that. And it must shortly come to pass. Verse 2, who bear a record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Where did we see the testimony of Jesus Christ? Revelation 19, verse 10. Jesus is the testimony of prophecy. Here it says, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. Verse 3. Listen carefully, it says blessed. You want to be blessed? Here it says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, referring to Revelation, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. People are blessed if they have interest in the Revelation. I didn't say it, the Bible says it. Or am I wrong? No, the Bible says that. How can we avoid it? Jesus is coming. In 2 Peter, Second Peter 3:1-3, it says, the second epistle, beloved, I write now unto you, in both which to stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. He wants to remind, or a way of remembrance, the second epistle, meaning the second book of Peter, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Here we find a prophets of prophesying, and the commandment of our apostles of the Lord and Savior. And this is the message. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. He says in the last days people will scoff at this theme about Jesus' return. Not just scoff, they walk after their own lusts. And what do they say? Oh, where is his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, oh, they've said that for years. My grandpa talked about it. All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You hear that today? Sometimes you do. Changes nothing. Doesn't change the barometer at all. I had two incidents this year that I found quite intriguing. We have a dwarf apple tree in our backyard, and it was just full of apples. And they looked so good. I said to my wife, how come they're not falling off? How come these apples aren't falling off? And it struck me, the more I admired that tree, the more it brought me a spiritual application. And all of a sudden, a couple of apples fell off and they bruised. And finally, we had to pick them off. There's over 500 in a dwarf tree. And I said to myself, this is an application of prophecy. The time will come. We just don't know when. But I can see apples. I can see they're red. And they have to come down. They will. And they did. The second thing that had happened to me on a Sunday morning, I was getting ready. I was brushing my teeth or whatever I was doing in the washroom. I looked to my watch. 5 minutes before 12, I said to myself, what's this? My battery is dead. But why 5 minutes before 12? It gave me, before I went to preach, it gave me in the spirit a notion there is an urgency. The time is running out. It's 5 minutes before 12. And we know that in Bible prophecy, or speakers that you've heard in Bible, 12 o'clock is when Jesus will return, in other words. You needn't apply it that way, but I did. As we close the new year and start a new year, what are we as individuals, as believers of the church, or even maybe non-believers? Have you got New Year's resolution of dieting or quit smoking or habits? Or what's your New Year's? How do you want to start the new year? In a spiritual sense, do you want to have more fasting and prayer? I think that's what this church needs. All churches need that. When Jesus cleansed the temple, he didn't say that this temple was a house of preaching. He said it was a house of prayer. That's what he said. How much is our decision-making in prayer? I sometimes wonder. And is that why things don't work? Well, definitely. We don't ask God. We want to do it ourselves. Well, go ahead. fasting and prayer, in memorization of the scriptures maybe, in Bible reading. Look up, which is the fulfillment of the prophecy. Are you willing to witness? Are you willing to support missions? Are you willing to tithe and fast? Are you willing to attend prayer meetings? Whom are you trusting in this world? The last closing verse I want to leave with you this morning is found in the middle verse of the Bible. Who knows the middle verse of the Bible? Psalm 118, verse 8. That is really where it's at. Psalm 118, verse 8 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence. That well applies to us and all generations. Let us unite in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you at the close of this message, and we thank you for your goodness. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for redemption. Beside the redemption that you have written so many things in the Bible to comfort us, that we are not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. You have promised us not a hair will fall from our head. We can be confident about that. And we have history that we can read, Bible history, that shows us that how you were with your people. You stood by them. Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel that went to pray, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, many others that stood. Regardless what government said, Daniel went and prayed at that window. He could have chosen a closet. No, he went to the same window. And many other men of God, the Apostle Paul, needed to say, reason with yourselves, should I obey God or man? And these are questions that we have to ask ourselves today. We just ask for a measured blessing for the new year, and that you might guide and direct us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Let us all kneel for a closing silent word of prayer. The Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Once again, please take your red books and turn to page number 67. Oh, what joy and exaltation! Number 67, could we stand, please?
Oh, what joy and exaltation, brightly glows at Christmas time. Hearts unite with cheer and gladness, blending voices sweetly. Unto you is born Christ the Savior.
Reminder that on New Year's Day, there will be one English service at 10 a.m. And starting on next Sunday, there will be the German service at 9 a.m. and the English service at 10 a.m. And also, a New Year's Eve program is being planned for December 31st at 10 p.m. Join us in singing in the new year. Everyone is welcome in the church dining hall. And if you're willing to participate, you can contact someone on the program committee. Thank you.
Thank you for coming and listening and being attentive. Anybody that knows me, I'm a little long-winded. And I could have said a lot more, but a person can only accept so and so much. But not to discourage anybody. This is supposed to be a comfort to everyone. That's what 1 Thessalonians 4:13, 18 says. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Prophecy is not torment. It's always comfort. And so might you be comforted. For Martha, myself, a blessed new year. I should say a happy new year. Or a Merry Christmas and a blessed new year. And enjoy the day. And God bless and keep you. I will leave you with the benediction. Let us unite for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. The Lord let thee give thee peace from now and unto all eternity. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord. God bless you and thank you for coming. And listen to the forecast.